Comics have been around for more than 100 years. For a long time, comics were mainly viewed as light entertainment for kids. Today, however, they can also be seen as an aesthetically ambitious art form. But are comics also a politically significant medium? This is Medea Vox. I'm Magnus Nilsson, Professor of Comparative Literature at the Faculty of Culture and Society at Malmö University. I'm here with comics artist Daria Bogdanska, and we will talk about comics and politics. Can comics be used to criticize and think about society in new ways? Can comics articulate new voices or reach out to those who are not taking part in political life? Which are the potentials and limitations of comics as a political art form? And who is Daria Bogdanska and what is she up to? Very welcome to Medea Vox, Daria.
Hello, hi. Thanks for having me.
So, Daria, could you please tell us something about yourself and about your work as a comics artist?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, my name is Daria. My surname is Bogdanska. I live in Malmö, Sweden, but I come from Poland. I was born in Warsaw. I'm a comic artist. I published for a few years ago, 2016, a book called Wage Slaves, which is it tells about my experiences about being migrant in Sweden. I also work as a freelance comic artist and I teach comics. So yeah, that's what I do.
You mentioned Wage Slaves, which was a big success, and it has been translated into several languages. Could you tell us a bit more about that work and what it's about and why you wrote it and so on?
So to start from the beginning, I came to Malmö to actually study comics at a local school called Kvarnby. And what happened is as a non-Swede, when I started going to school, I also had to find a job. And it was not the first situation in my life where I came to another country and I had to kind of start over and navigate around, finding my own place in a new city in a new country. Navigate around bureaucracy. What I realized after a while, I was like, I need a job, I need money, I need some kind of identification papers. And when I started doing that, I realized it was very hard as a non-Swede. Most of the Swedish people receive some kind of government support during the time they attend school. I didn't get it as a non Swedish citizens, so as I said, I had to get work. This is so complicated, but just to kind of make it shorter, what I realized after a while is to get a job here, in order to be able to survive economically, I need some special Swedish identification number. But in order to get this number, I need a job. So I ended up in this catch-22. Then I finally found a job, an illegal job in a restaurant. I was paid under the table. I was being exploited. I got paid less. And then I started union organizing. And during my time at school, we had to do a lot of exercises. We had to make comics. But I was both so tired and depressed from my situation that I couldn't really get my head wrapped around any interesting, exciting ideas for comics. So I just started writing about my life. And that was, I guess, the beginning of Wage Slave, the book. After I finished school, I just continued to tell the story of my first year in Sweden as a migrant.
Did you have inspiration from anywhere? Are there other comics or other works of art that you were inspired by when making Wage Slaves?
I think the main inspiration is, or even why I chose comics as a medium, is because I've been always reading comics. As a teenager, I started reading graphic novels. A lot of them are what I guess are classified as independent comics. So there's a lot of autobiography, a lot of political topics. Mostly black and white. I'm talking about like Craig Thompson, Julia Wertz, Guy Delisle. So this is the kind of comics I grew up with. But then again, when I was a teenager, I got into punk. And in this punk DIY movement, there is a big culture of self-publishing. And there is the whole fanzine or zine culture where people create their own magazines, their own content, their comics, copy it because it's cheap, and distribute it within their own channels. So I used to read a lot of zines. I used to collect zines, even distribute zines, exchange zines with people from other countries, and make zines. And you know, this what I mentioned, like copying, why those things are always black and white, it's like the cheapest way to publish stuff. So I guess this affected my both style and way of like how I use the narrative, or like why I use comics as a medium even.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see now that you were already part of a comics culture before you published Wage Slaves. But how is it significant that Wage Slaves is a graphic novel? How would it have been different from a political point of view if it had been, for example, a novel or a film? Or could it even be a novel or a film for you?
I think about it. And I think there's two aspects of that. Like, one, it's more like theoretical. Like you said, like what would be the difference? And the other is personal. If I begin with a personal, this book would never even happen if it wouldn't be a comic book. I cannot write. I have no academic background. I'm really bad at it. I skipped high school. But I still have a lot of stories to tell. And I still have a lot of ideas. So for me, it was very accessible medium where I could both with very simple words and pictures tell my story. That's a personal aspect of that. The other one, could this be a text, a regular novel or a film? For sure, but then I wouldn't have access, like, again, I wouldn't be able to do that. Also, comics, I think they're very good at explaining sometimes very, very hard, difficult, sad, problematic issues in a very easy way. I mean, it takes you maybe a few days or weeks, depends how fast you read, to read a novel. It takes you 3 hours to read a comic. And there is also like humoristic elements in the comics, even if you're talking about very difficult issues. It's, you can always make some funny jokes there, and they just make it easier to deal with and to read. So I'm glad that I told my story in this form, because I think it makes it more accessible, and especially to young people. I want young people to know about, for example, that you can join the union, that you can organize.
Mm-hmm.
And I think making it in a comic form makes it more accessible to them and easier to read.
So a comic would be easier to produce for many people who are not sort of part of the literary culture, or don't have maybe the means necessary to make a film. And it's also more accessible to people who are not used to reading books or so on. But are there also dangers? Some could perhaps say that comics simplify, they turn politics into a joke or something like that. What are your thoughts on those ideas?
Yeah, I mean, for sure it simplifies, but I think this is what it needs to be done also in order to even interest young people in politics. I think you can make a comic and talk about very complicated stuff and still be able to have like kind of nuanciated picture. But I mean, who doesn't simplify? Maybe in academia, you always try to get into every detail. But when we talk in pop culture, when talking news, when we talk, even popular science, you have to simplify in order to get your message through.
You talk about getting the message through, and you talk about how, for example, young people could find comics more accessible. But who actually reads comics nowadays? Is this a subculture that's sort of relatively small? You talked about fanzines and so on. Or is it possible to reach like a general audience with comics?
Yes and no. You know, like on one hand, for sure, it's important to name a change. this the culture that used to be classified as like nerd culture back in the days. So we were talking about internet culture, comics, computer games also. This is not longer a niche. This is part of the popular culture that is being consumed by young people right now. And this is pretty wide, especially here in Sweden, I think comics, but this is very specific for Sweden. Comic gained a whole new status and are widely spread as a form of popular culture. And this is maybe something you want to talk about because I think it's very special, especially since it's the comic scene is very like women dominated, which is another interesting aspect of comic medium in Sweden. So yeah, in a way, comics are more and more popular, not only for young people, but also to adults. They're becoming a more recognizable form of culture, which is both accessible and gains some kind of status that is not longer like for kids, like you mentioned before. So that's one part of my answer. The other part of my answer would be more negative, because I think generally stuff published on paper, that medium, I mean, all the newspapers of the magazines are having a crisis. A lot of people don't read books anymore. More and more culture is being consumed on the internet. So in the same time, yeah, comics are getting more status, are being more popular. But in the same time, we have another process where culture is moving from paper to the computer screen. Where, I mean, there is a lot of web comics, but this form of comics that I'm talking about, a graphic novel, maybe doesn't fit into that medium. So it's not so widely spread as it could be.
You are listening to Media Vox with Daria Bogdanska and Magnus Nielsen. Today we discuss comics and politics.
You also mentioned Sweden and the fact that many comics artists here are women. How does the comic scene in Sweden, in your view, differ from comic scenes in other countries?
Yeah, that's woman dominated. That's pretty unique, I would say.
And why is that, do you think?
Well, this somebody could write a dissertation about, probably did also, but my analysis, it's very short. I mean, I think there's few factors that make it possible. One, that there is comic schools. Whether you succeed as an artist or not, when your success depends on your informal networks, it's usually men who benefit. In Sweden, we have comic schools. So then you get a base for your contacts, you get contacts with publishers, you get a group of people who support you. So that's very important for an artist and for being a woman also. For me, coming into school, comic school, where I never had a contact with professional comic world before, I had a very low self-esteem. And I think a lot of girls, young girls I talk with, say the same thing, that I'm not good enough, I'm not going to show my work to anyone. Going to school was just looking around me and being like, well, everybody's doing their thing. Some of their stuff is better than mine, some of that is maybe not so good. I don't care. Everybody's doing different stuff. I shouldn't be ashamed of my stuff either. Then another aspect is, of course, Sweden has a lot of, feminism is present in the culture and even popular culture, and that's encouraging. And for sure, this new wave of Swedish feminist comics had to do both with comic schools, but also with very strong characters and authors that been started making comics at the same time. They got together, they started forming collectives, making zines together, these women. And this created a small trend that started spreading and spreading and spreading, and it's still spreading. It's unbelievable, I think. And right now, I think it's more women being published when it comes to comics than men. So that's great.
it certainly is. And I agree with you that there is a strong presence of feminism in Swedish comics. But there's also another trend, and that's a trend to which you belong. Comics that deal with labor market issues and political stuff. I could mention names like Henrik Pomander, we could mention Hanna Pettersson and others, who describe precarious work, exploitation of workers, and so on. Why is that?
Yeah, that's so interesting. I've been always a pretty progressive person since I've been a teenager, searching for progressive ideas. So somewhere on my way, I found feminism when I was a teenager, living in Poland, then traveling, being a migrant in Spain or England. And I never been interested, even I've been like directly affected, I've never been interested in labor politics. And I've been an immigrant, I've been getting like underpaid during all those years, didn't have any right, didn't have any contract. And a kind of a political person in a way, I've been trying to analyze my situation, but I never got interested in like labor politics, like union rights. And it happened first time when I came to Sweden. And I think as much as we talk about like some kind of feminist consciousness that you among people or present in culture or pop culture that we can see affected the comic scene, the same thing goes to class consciousness. I know people who live here wouldn't agree with me because they're like, oh no, people don't talk about class here. People don't understand what class is. But I disagree. Of all these countries I've been living in, surround myself by progressive people, I never seen so many class consciousness as here in Sweden, actually. And you can also, in the same way you can see it in comics, with feminist comics, you can see it also in comics that talk about those issues, criticizing the labor market, criticizing neoliberalization of the work market, and talking about their own experiences at work. And if I can continue, I wanted to just come back to what we started talking about before, how I even got into comics. Why I found, for example, autobiographical comics interesting was because they were representing my life. A lot of those autobiographical comics talk about everyday life, talk about young people's lives in big cities having shitty jobs. And why this was attractive to me? Yes, because I could see myself in those comics. I could recognize myself. But what maybe, and I think we were talking about it once before, but what I've been missing in those comics, it's a lot of the comics written by young people, not in Sweden, mostly in the USA, where it's a really shitty situation if you're young people live in a big city. Criticize the status quo, criticize the housing situation, criticize the work market, when even like a term shitty job, which is just accepted, it says something about our situation here and now. But what I've been missing, it's some kind of constructive critic, or like, what's the next step? We know we're in a shitty situation, we can be ironic about it, but what do we do about it? And this is something that the first thing I seen in Sweden. I mean, people criticizing the politics, but also talking about alternatives. And this is something that I want to do in my comics, which I talk about my shitty situation, but also what can be done to make it better.
But it seems to me like this strong presence of radical ideas, feminism, socialist ideas, and so on, are they perhaps stronger in the world of culture, more present than in the rest of society? Because my impression is that in society at large, of course there are people who are class conscious, for example, but in the world of literature, and perhaps especially in the world of comics, this is even more so the case. It seems to me like culture, and especially comics, is a space in society where values are a bit different than in society at large. Do you agree?
Of course, but those two things don't exist independently from each other. I mean, you can always compare and say, of course, if you look at the people with higher education who can have access to information and reading a lot, of course, the class consciousness will be much bigger, or like cultural workers or and then in the general public or working class people, maybe less. And this is just, I'm guessing, because I didn't do any research, but coming here to Sweden and talking to normal people, I mean, I've been working with like people who have nothing to do with culture. And now I'm here sitting in Malmo University talking to very cultured people. But I can say for sure that there is bigger class consciousness in general. And because, I mean, I don't believe in trickle down when it comes to like economy, but for sure culture, it works. I mean, people who make culture, films, literature, it moves on and spreads in a society in general, creating some kind of collective sense of consciousness. I think that it's very present. And I think people who grew up with Swedish culture, I don't know, I can see that they have a different way of approaching, of being, I don't know, it's hard to explain. I think that for sure I can see it among like working class people also and young people, that there is different understanding of class that I don't see elsewhere.
You are listening to Media Vox with Daria Bogdanska and Magnus Nielsen. Today we discuss comics and politics.
We've been talking a lot about Wage Slaves, which is a fantastic work of art. What are you working on right now?
Yeah, I'm working on a continuation, which is going to be talking about a housing situation. You know, my favorite topic is depicting my generation. I'm 30. And what I like to talk about is how we, also called the millennials, the funny word, are considered spoiled. We are considered a spoiled generation with like unlimited possibilities, with access to everything, lazy. And I kind of want to break that myth. And I think it's very interesting to talk about it and think about it, why we are how we are and how this economical system that we live in affects us. What we look at now, it's more people getting mental health issues, especially young people. More people have hard times moving out of their parents' houses nowadays. We live in very temporary times. My generation is used to temporariness of every aspect of our lives, from jobs that we change all the time to housing, where we change housing all the time. I moved, for example, around 25 times in my adult life. If you compare it to my mom that moved twice, it's a big difference. And even our relations are being more temporary. Internet dating culture and so on. I think there's a lot of interesting aspects of the temporariness of our life. And I think I like to ask the question, what does it do to us as people, as human beings, how it affects us? And as much as when people are trying to analyze millennials and media, they usually leave out the two first things that I mentioned, which is work and housing, which I think that this material reality is actually very, very important. It's not only like how we choose to act, what we choose to do. We are described as the people who don't want a steady job, who like to be flexible, who like the change all the time. But my question is like, are we really like this, or are we just put in this situation when we have to adapt ourselves to it?
This sounds like a really, really interesting project. If comparing with Wage Slaves, could one say that in Wage Slaves, you took your point of departure in a very marginalized group of people, those at the very bottom on the labor market. And in this project, you are moving on to talk about the whole generation, a wider group, a more general societal trend.
Well, I'm talking about my thoughts on the background of the project, but I'm going to use autobiography again. Because I think a personal story, it's always, it's a strong story. I think a personal story makes people understand the subject more, makes it easier for them to identify themselves with a problem. So I'm going to use my life and my friend's life to tell a story of what I just mentioned. But the point is to be that this story, pretty much anyone who's the part of the generation be able to identify themselves with.
So you take the point of departure in your own life, but you want to talk to many people and show that this is not an individual situation or problem.
Exactly. That's my plan.
And how far have you come in this project?
Don't ask me that question.
So there's no immediate publication coming?
Well, I plan to finish it till next summer, but I haven't started drawing yet. I should be sitting right now in my studio and drawing, but I'm sitting here and doing this podcast.
We apologize for that, but I also think that this discussion that we're having is part of a more longer ongoing discussion between you and Malmö University. You have been an artist in residence here. Could you tell me a bit about that experience, your interaction with the university?
Well, it was interesting. I mean, in the beginning, I was a little bit scared. I never been around. As I said, I'm a high school dropout. I never thought I'm gonna even be working at a university, because I cannot even study at a university. So first I was a little bit intimidated. First I was a little bit scared. But it was great to come here and have access to a lot of material, to talk with lots of different researchers. I'm using a little bit of research for my book, so it was really interesting to talk with people who work with similar subjects or subjects that are overlapping my interests. Then again, there was few other comic artists here, so we've been also started talking a lot of stuff and starting cooperating in a way. So that was a good experience. But yeah, in the beginning, I was a little bit scared.
And you also teach comics here to some extent, but also at other schools. How does that affect you? What do you learn from teaching?
Yeah, that's the thing. I learn a lot. If your teacher thinks that you'll be learning other people, but what I realize is that me that's learning every day from my student. The thing that makes me think so much is that who gets to make comics? I work with people who kind of failed in a like normal education system, that failed at finishing high school. So it's a people's school I work at, where they can kind of get the grades and make comics at the same time. And in the same school, we have a theater and music and film school, which is full time. And I could see a big division between these two parts of school. It's maybe people from middle class background with self-esteem. And my students come more from working class background and have very low self-esteem. And I can see that the students I teach are so not used to be taking place. I don't know, it's in Swedish, you know, topplats, how would you say it in English?
To claim space,
yeah. They're quiet, they're ashamed of their work, whether it's just for plain comparison, the other students are just so, they have self-confidence and they're sure of what they're doing. And that's for me also, and from my own experience that I've been doubting, it took me so many years to actually write a book, and I've been dreaming about it since I was a teenager. I say that this is a big aspect of who can tell the story, who gets to tell a story, who gets the financial means to tell a story. Because we can theorize about it and say like, yeah, all the stories are worth to tell. But the real question is like, who gets to do it actually? Because there's so many aspects of it.
So we're coming back to the fact that comics may perhaps be an art form where people who are disadvantaged in various ways can actually tell the stories, people from the working class, for example. But what do you see then? Which stories are told by the students that you teach?
In general, young people don't feel well today. I think the stories are worth to tell. But I don't want to get into my students and talk so much about them because of privacy. But in general, when I think about the stories that are not being told, I would like to see more stories written by migrants in Sweden. And it's also why I wrote my story, you know, because of being a migrant in Sweden now is very, very tense political time where the media and the politicians talk a lot about migrants. And I would like to see more migrants talk about themselves, us talking with our own voices. For sure, one thing is done. A lot of women tell the stories in Sweden. That's really good. We need also more diversity when it comes to class and ethnicity, I think. And it's hard to achieve, you know. I don't have any question how we get there. But I still see that we need, there need to be more space for that representation of people from this backgrounds.
Well, I think that you actually do quite a lot to make that happen. First of all, Wage Slaves is probably an inspiration to others. And second, you do teach, so you do help people come into a position where they can tell their own stories. Daria Bogdanska, thank you very much for talking to me about this.
Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure, and I hope we can continue this conversation in the future.